The revolution will be broadcast.
From the haunted backrooms of America and live from the D&D Show Studio, this is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only, the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
That would be me, Ghostman. I am the Demon Hunter, and so I've been told, anyway, yeah. By people who say my name.
Do you like that intro?
I thought that was fabulous, absolutely wonderful. You were absolutely fantastic at that, and
that's why I do it.
I'm muy impresante.
I do it for your approval, my brother. Hey, I almost died this week.
You did. I heard this, but you haven't talked to me about it yet.
Yeah, I almost died, guys. You almost was down minus one from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. It had just been the Demon Hunter Shadow Nation. That's the new name, Demon Hunter. I'm given, by the way. Say.
And you're gonna be next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You would end that right while I was taking a drink of beer. You know? You always do that. That's the new name, by the way. Here goes ADD, guys. Classic ADD from the Ghost Man. Instead of the G&D Nation, since we always take them back in the shadows every Sunday night, I decided to do the G&D Shadow Nation. Huh? And that is just for our listeners. You cannot find it anywhere else in the country. We have the best fans and the best listeners around the world, and they're called the G&D Shadow Nation. The Shadow Nation, Demon Hunter.
The Shadow Nation. It's like a secret society.
It is. It's like,
The Masons. You get to tell people you're in a secret society.
We're going
to
send out decoder rings, guys. Drink your Ovaltine? A crummy commercial?
If only we could get Ovaltine to sponsor us.
What movie?
Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
I can't put my arms down. No, but I almost died this week, man. We had a snowstorm come through Indy before it headed out that way. And, you know, I'm good on the ice and snow. I mean, for the most part, I got a front-wheel drive car. But I was coming home. It was, you know, about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. You know how we do it, late hours. And I was coming home, and I'm just cruising. I'm driving down the road, going about 35, 40 miles an hour because it is ice. And I look behind me, and I see a truck that has jackknifed. And just like in the movies, man, it's sliding in slow motion towards my little Cobalt, and it actually cups my car. And I say cup because, I mean, the tractor is out front, and the trailer is in back of my car. So I am driving with this truck, man, jackknifing. So I didn't know what to do, It all happened so fast. Believe it or not, I thought of the family, of course. It kind of flashed out. The first one was Devin, my oldest son, just popped in my head. Then Stacy, and I actually thought about me and you doing the show. I mean, all this stuff popped through my head. And I thought of my cousin, something when we were little. We used to play Jaws down in the pantry, and we would have baseball bats. And we would actually push ourselves around on lunch trays like they were boats. And we had a big shark, stuffed shark, that we would... Not a live one, but a toy stuffed shark. And we would act like that was Jaws. And all this stuff clicked in my head probably in a matter of a half a second. And, yeah. So I simply just turned it left just a little bit. My rear, the rear of the car swung around. And I did a 360 and landed in the ditch and watched the truck crash in front of me. Nobody died. Nobody was hurt. The truck didn't flip and go into flames or nothing. But,
No zombies crawled out of the back.
You want no zombies. No zombies. That would have been cool, actually. But, yeah, I almost died, man. What would you have done? A world without the Ghost Man.
It would have been a new, strange, wonderful... Wait, no, not wonderful. Sorry. Mm.
That's good. I like that. Wonderful. So that's what I did this week. I almost died. And other than that, it's been a white-knuckle experience driving back and forth.
Beat me up.
You know? Not scared. That night... was a white knuckle night, you know.
Oh, what a biggie frog.
Well, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that our bosses don't mind us driving home in this. We'll sit there and it's snowing and it's horrible out, and we're like, you know, we should really close and go home. And
they don't care.
They'll sit there and go, in a little while. And by the time they finally let you go home, the roads are all ice. You know, they practically close the highways down because of bad weather. And then they say, okay, now you can go home.
Yeah, they don't care, man. They don't care. They just care that you come to work. And if you die, they'll replace you with somebody cheaper probably for a while. You know what I mean? That's at least my job.
Good grief.
Right. Thanks, Charlie. But hey, has the Charlie Brown Christmas special come on? That's like a tradition.
I don't think it's come on yet. It was funny. I went online and found the Thanksgiving special because I couldn't find it anywhere on TV.
Right.
So I watched it on YouTube.
Okay.
And then after that, the next night, it came on TV.
Ah.
So.
I like that.
Liar!
No, it's true.
It's not true. Hey, yeah, we watched that, you know. It's always cute. He recites in the God's, I forget what scripture that is. You'd probably know since your Bible camp day. I shouldn't laugh about that.
Should drop me in the woods with a Bible and a can of peaches and say, find your way home.
Pork and beans. Isn't that kind of like Jesus on the mountain? Yeah, maybe you were like the Messiah of the Bible camp or something.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, God, I didn't.
You're going to hell for that one.
I really like God.
With you.
I really like God.
No, Jesus, I didn't laugh at that one.
I really like God, though. I'm not playing around. This is a good guy. But, you know, the whole Bible camp story, that was... I never got to go to Bible camp, so...
Oh, poor Sean.
But hey, Shadow Nation, we are back. Mystifying Oracle Radio. So good to be back. It's kind of tough this time of year because all you guys are doing your holiday boogaloo. And me and Nathan is too, you know. And we're doing our thing. And got some big stuff coming up, Demon Hunter. I feel it in me bones. I feel it in the works for the G&D Nation.
Me too. I mean, we've got some new systems here. If you haven't noticed, it's a bit clearer. We've got some new computers.
Mm-hmm.
I found a link on my computer here, Sean, and I think it's going to be very helpful in the future. I'm not sure what it does, but, you know, I've got this great big Whopper computer here, and if you push this button here...
Shall we play a game?
So, hopefully I'm not going to blow up the entire country.
Now, for the first time ever, guys, we have... That's my first guy of the night. That's another thing. Let me finish this thought. First, about the for the first time ever, we have a board, matching boards almost. You know,
that is correct, sir.
Soundboards, and we actually got this studio going. Only over 7 years in the making. We finally
only can. 7 years. You remember when we started, Sean? We said, "Hey, let's go out and buy headsets."
Oh, that'd be the cheapest way to go.
Yeah.
Hey, would you dare say that at this point in time, that we are the longest running internet broadcast, paranormal slash whatever we are, horror genre broadcast, entertainment, guys, that's out there right now. What would you say, Demon Hunter?
You know, it's tough to say because there were a few that started around the same time we did on the internet that are still around, but some of them have gone to terrestrial radio. Some of them have split up, and it's still they still have the same name, but different people running them.
Right.
So we're up there. We're in the probably on the internet now. We're the longest one I know of.
I'd say we were. That's what I'd say. I mean, I would say that we are one of the longest running.
Oh, we're definitely one of the longest running, if not the longest.
If not the longest. You've got to be proud of something, people. We're not bragging ourselves. Got to be proud of something. You, Shadow Nation, aren't giving us any words of, you know, celebration.
Why don't you send us your love?
Yeah. We perform for you guys Sunday night. We're artists. We hit the
Send us your love at contact@ghostanddemon.com.
Yeah, exactly. Give us some of this, you know. We want to hear more of this right here. Thank you. Nathan, this one's for you.
That's what you want to hear more of?
That's for us right there. Thank you, guys. We appreciate that. I don't think they're ever going to give us applause. I don't know. Well, we've gotten some applause, yeah. We're big in China, Asia, all the places that don't know our language very well. So,
huge in Manila.
So what happened? Was anything, did you almost die this week or anything?
I did not almost die this week. My kitty cat almost died this week.
Yeah, I heard about that. Very sad.
I was running around and trying to save her life, and she's currently...
How's she doing?
She's alive, and she's actually running around and playing. I don't think she knows how sick she is.
Yeah.
But I took her to the vet, and they said she was dying, and it was kind of like that old episode of Taxi where he brings his dog in, and they say, you know, you should put him to sleep, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to bring her home and give her the best last few weeks of her life, if that's all she's got. So.
Right.
I've been spoiling her rotten. I went out and bought a Christmas tree that she would like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
A tree she could climb. And
so you get it. Yeah, I got a cat here in the G&D studio. We got a new cat. And we never had a cat before for a long time. Of course, I got two cats. We saved them from it was a no-kill shelter, but we got them.
That's the way to save it. Get a pet. Go to a shelter.
Right. And that's what we did. We went in there. And we got
punch you in the mouth.
Right. We got the two cats, and one of them was, what do you call it, with the extra finger or whatever?
Oh, the sixth toe? I'm not sure what they call that. Some people refer to them as the Hemingway cats, but if you want the technical name, I don't know about it yet.
You don't know then. Okay, well, the thing about it is, we bought these two cats.
Punch you in the mouth.
And Stacy got pregnant, so she was making her sick, the smell of kitty litter, so we had to get rid of it. So I was very excited. This cat showed up on the doorstep. We kept feeding it, and finally I came home, and she had it in the house. So.
And now it's you took it to the vet. It's all clean. It's all good.
It is. Well, we haven't taken it to the vet yet. It's been 3 weeks. We need to take her to the vet. But she's clean.
Take it to the vet. But could have worms for all you know.
Yeah, she could have worms. We need to go to the vet. We found out a lot of them don't want to declaw them anymore.
Oh, no. A lot of vets won't. And, I always had declawed cats when I was younger. But as I got older... taking them to the vet, they'd tell you about how horrible it was for the cat. So I just stopped doing it, and now all my cats have claws, and I just put sticky stuff on the furniture so that if they try and claw away. No sticky furniture joke there, Sean?
You were talking. You were talking, man. I didn't want
wide open for you, but it keeps them from clawing away at the furniture. And... The weird thing, though, is when you're not used to having a cat in the house because they're awake all night and they start doing well, you start hearing things crash downstairs and you go running downstairs with a gun in your hand waiting for the axe man to be breaking through the window, and it's just a cat.
I know never to come visit you at night, dude.
Oh, no. Huh? Dude. You stayed at my house once. I told you, don't go into this room. This is where I keep the guns.
What do you think? I'm going to play with it and shoot myself? Hey, what's this end do? Oh, man. All these years, and you know me this well. That is amazing.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, but you beat me to it. I was very upset that you beat me to the sticky couch joke.
I was waiting for you to jump in there.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
You took too long.
I'm ready for sex.
You know how upset you get for... If I interrupt you, you know how upset you get. Demon Hunter.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Shadow Nation. Tonight's guest. Tonight's guest. Lecturer, actress, and author of the book, The Lee Avenue Haunting. And soon to hit the bookshelves, her new book, Growing Up Paranormal. Donna Parrish Bischoff. Stops by, guys. Sweetheart. Good friend of this show. We love her to death. She had come on before Demon Hunter.
And we said we'd have her back.
Because she's awesome. Good-looking lady. And she's a great author, too. And she came on. She's got the Lee Avenue Haunting, guys. The real story is what we're going to find out of what happened all those many years ago when Donna was a little girl on Lee Avenue at the haunted house that she grew up in. Tonight on your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Da da da.
Da 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 da.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Apparently, we're going to broadcast it again. I forgot to knock that off. I told you I shouldn't have loaded that there.
You've been drinking too much coffee.
I've been drinking too much cough syrup.
Coffee. That's probably.
Coffee kind of makes me nervous when I drink it.
I love it.
I'm ready for sex.
I love it, Sling Blade. You pulled that one out of the vault, didn't you? Coffee makes me a bit nervous. I love it. That's great, man. I love that one. Anyway, that's what we do with the clips and everything.
We just battle with them now.
No, Now we just go back. So the Shadow Nation gets to listen to us for all these. I had to actually add, we had to come up with a name for our listeners and fan base because, guys, just what I said, guys. I might have said guys 30 times a show, if not more. Maybe 100. I don't know. I used to say, guys, hold on to your hat. Guys, tonight's guest. Guys. So I'm trying to stop saying guys.
Shadow Nation.
It's the Shadow Nation. So now if I say Shadow Nation 100 times, which I think I've said it 20 already, it's okay, though, if you say Shadow Nation, because that's who they are.
That's right.
That's who they
there
are.
There are Shadow. They shadow us in the nation.
Hey, what do you think? We're going into the Christmas holiday, and we've already had a big snowstorm here, and they call it a storm. I wouldn't say it was a huge storm. But what do you think? Are we going to have a bad winter?
You know, I don't know. We're supposed to have one going on right now, but I'm looking out the window and there's no snow falling. It's
yeah. You know, I heard a ghost story about this lonely ghost girl, of course, on the roads. I love those, the highway stories.
Oh yeah.
And it was only when it snows does she come out, and it's actually a lady in black here in Indianapolis, and a guy he was riding on the motor. That doesn't count for guys. Actually, that was the story I'm telling. But the dude was on the motorcycle. He got struck by lightning. Now, believe it or not, he got struck by lightning over here on the south side or on the west side of Indianapolis. And it was very famous. It was on Unsolved Mysteries and everything. And everybody was around him. And his heart was stopped. Okay? The paramedics were there. Everybody showed up. This wasn't like, oh, this guy's word. There was at least 15 people standing around. And a lady holding a Bible in a black dress with a black bonnet came up, put her hands on him, and one hand to God, and she chanted something about, you know, some, you know, Bible thing. And then she got up and she walked away over into the cornfield. The guy came back. He had total, you know, he was fine. He had a little bit of mark on his chest where the lightning had hit him right in the chest. Or hit the bike. And then it arced and hit him in the chest. But he had come back, and everybody told him this story. Well, they had done some research. Back in the 1920s, whatever, there was a Pentecostal or some kind of Bible thing, camp. And they would camp out towards that, you know, place there in Franklin, Indiana, and they had pictures of these people all dressed up like that on the museum walls out there. And they said that, yeah, they said that's the ghost of the lady in black, that she paces up and down that road, especially, don't tell me why in the winter, maybe you can see her better because she has the black dress on, but she goes up and down the road and she looks for people in trouble. Motorist, if you will. I don't know if you were on a bicycle when you got
struck. So it's a good woman in black.
Yeah.
Not like the movie Woman in Black, where no. If you see her, children die.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's from the movie, though. Right? That's not real. That's not based on her. I'm sure there is a lady in black that kills children. Out there.
I honestly, Sean, who knows? Everything says based on a true story these days, right?
It's, well, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to write a book.
It's Min Hunter Show, based on a true story.
It actually is. Rags to rags, guys. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Shadow Nation. I say guys again.
Jesus. If they made a movie of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, who would play you?
George Clooney, without a doubt.
George Clooney?
Yeah. Who's the new guy with the underwear that danced around? You know the show, they were dancers?
That's not much to go on.
You know you've seen it. No. He wears underwear. He dances. He's a male stripper.
No.
Yeah. That would he
oh, play Magic Mike movie?
Chatham Tatum or whatever.
Oh, geez. It's, Channing, I'm Googling here trying to find things about...
It's Channing Tatum.
Somebody's going to like search my history and be like, men looking for Channing, men dancing in underwear. Why is Nathan looking this up?
Right. Chrissy would be in there tonight going, Jesus. what's my husband looking at here?
I want to bring Christian Slater back. I want Christian Slater to play me.
You know, I think he could when he's all drugged out, his hair... I think you could play a little bit. Okay, Shadow Nation, moving right along. G&D show in the news, guys. I say guys again. It's always fresh. It's always exciting. And it's fresh from the G&D show vault. And it starts right
now.
That was good. That was loud.
I tried.
That was overpowering.
That's right, folks. It's time for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the News, where Sean and I pick out stories by the titles, if we like them. And don't read the stories beforehand. That means we may make a lot of mistakes. And that also leaves room for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter drinking game. That means every time we make a mistake reading the news, you take a drink. We recommend that if you are listening to this on a podcast and driving your car, you don't follow that because we are not going to pay your drunk driving fines. And if you're planning sitting around with your friends around the old radio or, shall we say, computer, listening to the show right now and planning to drive home, well, then drink responsibly and only take a sip every time we make a mistake. Otherwise, you're going to be drunk.
There could be. So we're not going to pay for the...
Oh, no, we're not paying anybody's fines. We're not responsible if you drink a drive.
Maybe.
So drink a drive. You might spill your drink.
Maybe.
Anyway, in the news, Sean.
What's going on in the news, brother?
Ghost hunters in PA are mistaken for burglars.
Oh, God. Again?
Again.
Oh, Jesus.
The Gettysburg Times reported Tuesday that the Thanksgiving night ghost tour ended with two tourists and their guide being detained at gunpoint.
Oh, wow.
A patrolman passing a closed store in Gettysburg says he saw flashlights inside.
Okay.
So he went in and handcuffed and searched the three ghost hunters.
Oh, police
called the owner and confirmed that the tour operator had permission to use the allegedly haunted Civil War era building.
Well, what was he, new?
Oh,
the first Union general killed in the Battle of Gettysburg was brought to this building after being fatally wounded.
Ooh.
The owner of the Victorian-style photograph studio, you think if it's a photograph studio, they would have gotten some evidence of a ghost by now.
Hey, we went by there, Nathan. Me and you went in there.
Yep. The occupants. That occupies the building and permitted the tour and declined to comment.
Yeah. The occupants that occupy.
Oh, good grief.
What really got the people in trouble was they walked in and said,
"Are you the police?"
"No, ma'am. We're musicians."
I can't believe he strip searched him. Did he do an
he
anal?
Searched him. I don't think it says strip searched.
Oh. Did he do an anal?
Release the hounds!
Can you say that on the radio?
I don't know.
Release the hounds!
Oh, I lost that list we had all the many years ago about things you can say. You know what? If they don't like it, we'll change when we're on XM.
Yes. We'll behave when you start paying us.
We will. We'll change, Demon Hunter.
Liar!
We will. Was that it for your story?
That was for my story, yes.
Ghost hunters, when you go out, apparently permission is not enough nowadays.
Yes, apparently you have to watch out for people with guns walking down the street, even the police.
Yeah.
Because they barge in and ruin your ghost hunt. That's what it is.
And even the, you know, they probably paid the price of admission, I would imagine. Wasn't they, if they got arrested, the actual, I wonder if that was a one of our friends' tour groups out there.
Oh, could have been. Well, there's so many ghost hunting tours out there now that who knows?
Who knows? You don't know.
You could have been. Know.
All right. Next story, guys. Marijuana in Wendy's burger was misplaced, Demon Hunter, by employee Amy Cyber.
I thought you'd like that story.
I did. I liked it. I read it. I did. I didn't read it, actually. I didn't want to break the tradition yet. So here goes, guys, without reading it before. Marijuana in Wendy's hamburger. Their boogers might be square.
Boogers?
Yeah, boogers.
Have a drink, folks.
Burgers. How are you supposed to say it? They're burgers?
Burgers,
whatever. They might be square, Demon Hunter, but their employees clearly aren't. Wendy's employee, Amy Cyber, was arrested, drink up, guys, was arrested and soon became an ex-employee on November 1st when a customer at the chain's Lovejoy, Georgia location called 911 over pot? They called it, oh, you're kidding me, on November 1st and reported that there was half-smoked blunt inside her hamburger. How did she know it was a blunt if she hadn't, you know?
It was only half a blunt because she'd already taken a bite.
Right. She was like, that's the best burger I ever had. Apparently that's Wendy's new project to bring people in. I'm kidding. Police say when they showed up, Cyber, 32, told them the blunt belonged to her. Stupid.
Liar!
And that she misplaced it inside the cheeseburger. Booger. She was arrested for possession of marijuana. The customer told TMZ she suffered from symptoms similar to food poisoning. And she, are you kidding me? Yeah, the good part of food poisoning, if there is, like psychedelic. She had to be hospitalized. Wow, lawsuit. She also said, hold on, I gotta throw this one in. She said she suffered from food poisoning symptoms, yeah. She also said that Wendy's offered to pay for her medical bills and also gave her a $50 gift certificate for more pot-filled hamburgers. If you'd like your dining experience to be totally disturbing, but Wendy's really isn't your jam, fear not. Alarming things have happened at many other establishments.
They have.
They have. In July, a Subway sandwich artist admitted to HuffPost, HuffPost weird, that he placed his penis on the store's sandwich bread and posted photos. Huh? He posted photos, Demon Hunter. Are you ready for this? He posted photos. Get ready.
Okay.
Of the foot-long Subway sandwich. Yeah, he posted photos of it. Come on, man. That was probably just one penis on a sandwich. You know what I mean?
It,
But that's it. Earlier that month, the owner...
up a little short, Sean.
Yeah. Earlier that month, the owner of a San Diego pizzeria was allegedly caught on video masturbating in the restaurant's... Hold on. He was caught masturbating.
I'm not going to be able to eat out again.
He was masturbating in the restaurant's kitchen. That's all I got. That's all I got for that one.
Where do you get the secret sauce?
I don't know. Oh. That's terrible. I was going to read the Mexican teen reportedly injects crocodile, which you've covered on previous news.
Crocodile is a big thing now, man. I'm telling you, it might be the beginning of the zombie apocalypse.
It's the cheap heroin.
Yeah, well, it's mixed with gasoline, and gasoline ain't that cheap, so I don't know how cheap it is.
Yeah, it's mixed with gasoline?
Oh, they take the heroin and crack cocaine and mix it up with gasoline and lighter fluid and all this stuff to thin it out, and then harden it again, and, you know, basically, it's garbage drugs that they're just thinning out the way they used to use rat poison. Well, now they're just using stuff that kills you faster.
If they would legalize pot, these stupid kids would stop, you know.
It's a gateway drug, Sean.
Yes, it's a gateway drug. You know what's a gateway drug? Working full time. That's a gateway drug, the surest way into an antidepressant or something addicting. Okay?
Whatever you say, man. Whatever
you're
you
up to bat, Demon Hunter. DH. That's your new name. DH.
DH.
Since I'm shelling out... Since I'm shelling out new names. Like JR from
coming
Dallas.
Coming to you. You're like Adam naming all the creatures, man.
I know. Like JR from Dallas. I give you an important name. DH. Big DH. You got to start wearing a cowboy hat and boots, man.
I already do.
You don't wear a cowboy hat.
Well, I'll get one. I have several cowboy hats. It just never gives me any opportunity to wear them, Sean.
And not much opportunity to get laid. Okay, proceed. I told you I'd get you back for cutting me off on that earlier joke about sticky couches.
A suburban Nashville couple got more than they expected in their to-go order at McDonald's drive-thru.
Okay.
A bag of cash.
Ooh.
This is the opposite of somebody complaining, I imagine.
Yeah. Would you turn?
I'm amazed they told anybody.
That's a good one. Now, if you got a bag of cash from, you know, wherever you go eat the fast food place, would you turn it in?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I would.
I'm hurting right now, so it's. I might think and go, oh, look, angels left me this bag of cash.
I'd say there is. I'd say I could
really. I think I probably would, just because I wouldn't want to see whoever made the mistake get fired.
You know what? Your negativity, Demon Hunter.
You're really clouding the energy in this room right now.
It's clouding the energy in this room. It's the funny clip wars, Demon Hunter.
It really is. WTVF TV reports. Ooh. Thousands of dollars in cash packaged for a bank deposit had been placed in a paper to-go bag near the drive-through order on Tuesday morning. An employee mistakenly placed the bag in Greg and Stacy Terry's, who had just been looking for some breakfast, mules.
You gotta be kidding.
The employee realized the mistake almost immediately and followed Terry's to their home a short distance away.
Who did, the police?
No, the employee.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Meanwhile, the couple, who's ready for breakfast, my husband opened the bag and discovered the money inside, Tracy said. He said, you're not going to believe this. Sure enough, it was their bank deposit money.
Right.
Okay. The second they had said it was their deposit, the first thing was to let's get in the truck and take a break.
Right.
Take it back. Oh, sorry. Have a drink, folks. I thought they were going to take a break. They took the money back.
Wow.
They said they had a good laugh and even took photos of the cash before returning it to the employee. They posted the pictures on Facebook of wads of bills in plastic bags with what looked like yellow deposit slips.
Wow.
The owner of the operation of the McDonald's, Phil Gary, in a statement, thanked the Terrys and said he was looking into how the mistake happened. No reward, no nothing? What's going on here?
Yeah, how'd they get off with that?
I mean, gee.
Hmm?
They at least deserved, like, a free breakfast burrito or something.
Hey, did you hear about, here's a side note, did you hear about all the McDonald's employees going on strike?
I've been hearing about this.
I'm ready for six.
They are calling for $15 an hour, Demon Hunter. DH. $15 an hour to work at the fast food chains. You know, and I say kudos. I did not. I'm one of them that when they were picketing that day, I did not do business with any fast food chains.
But you got to understand, too, Sean, that several economists are saying that if the wage is raised to $15, the owners of these fast food restaurants will have no choice but to replace employees with automated systems.
Well, then they, I tell you what, they will not be able to replace employees with automated. You cannot get automated systems to replace a human being. You can't do it. And if you live in the United States of America, you have a right to make a living, or at least enough to not starve to death.
Well, I agree with you. I fully agree with you. I don't think that, I mean, one, you're looking at your $3 cheeseburgers going up to $6.
Yeah.
There's no choice in that, maybe more. And I've already seen, since I work with a lot of industries that put out these automated systems, they're replacing people left and right with automated systems right now, Sean.
No. Because
it's more expensive at this point right now to replace people with these automated systems, so they're not doing it. But they've already got soda machines that replace people from filling the sodas. They've got automatic fryers that replace people from having to do the cooking.
Yes.
But they still have to have
the manual labor.
These aren't the droids you're looking for. Yeah.
But it takes one person instead of three to do the job.
No. It might cut down on the manpower, but then the man hours, but they're going to have to make that up with calling out a tech every time that a greasy robot arm breaks down.
Well, I've worked in one place already that's replaced the robot arms put in the automatic fryers and things like that. And yes, they do break down, but they only, you know, in the time that I saw it working, it only broke down once, and someone on site was able to repair it exactly when it happened. I mean, and you're talking over a 2-year period.
Well, I would rather not work then, because you have a number of businesses, Demon Hunter, out there that are promoting welfare for their employees. Have you heard that? They're promoting welfare.
Oh, I agree. I agree it's wrong. I'm just saying that this is... look at the way that these companies work, Sean, and tell me that if they had to pay $15 an hour to a full staff over a year, and if they cut that cost in half over a 2-year period by putting in automation, they wouldn't do it.
Liar! No. Next story. I'm union, baby. Through and through union. Union made, union by choice.
Yeah, well, it's...
Well, I fight for anybody.
Unions are destroying the country, Sean.
Hey, you and I have both worked, you know, jobs where they barely pay you anything back in the days.
Of course.
And, you know, that's sad because you still put in the hours, if not more, that a person making great money does.
Mm-hmm.
And for nothing. And these people are turning around and having to go on welfare to support their families. And then people
come. It's horrible. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm just saying
wholeheartedly
that raising the minimum wage to that amount will not help because of the fact that people,
whatever,
it'll give the companies a reason to just replace people with automation.
Well, there you go. That's your opinion. One man's opinion, even though you, sir, are wrong. Next story, Demon Hunter, because we're at 7:40 now. The mystery of dimes appearing from nowhere, Demon Hunter, and other strange phenomena. This comes from the blog.
The blog.
The blog. Not the blog.
The blog. The blog. The blog.
The mystery of dimes appearing from nowhere and other strange phenomena. Here we go. Einstein said reality is merely an illusion. Albert, a very persistent one. People who have experienced paranormal activity. You ready?
I'm always ready.
All right. People who have experienced paranormal activity of any type are most likely to agree with Einstein's observations. One, the most common, is the phenomena of dimes that seem to appear out of thin air, man. Stories about dimes appearing mysteriously are common around the world, even in places where dimes are not used as money. Yeah. Scientists dismiss these stories because because personal experiences are often contaminated with something called cognitive bias. An example is to unknowingly drop a dime on the floor and later conclude it appeared there magically. Now, we have met some of these people, Demon Hunter, in the field. I don't doubt that.
Cap.
But when you get hit on the head with one, it's a little bit different, you know.
If a dime flings across the room and it suddenly appears somewhere.
Right. Well, it doesn't take any truth away from
or
it.
A bolt or a nut.
Yeah. We got that one, didn't we? The need for scientific proof of this phenomena diminishes with the frequency of occurrences, and especially if it happens in your home. If you see it happen, Demon Hunter, doubt gets replaced with wonderment. To make any sense of this, we must turn away from the logical and toward, here, you ready for it? The metaphysical. There you go. The dimes pictured below have miraculously appeared to us over the past 10 years. The outer heart shape, they put them in a heart shape, by the way. The outer heart shape groups of dimes were discovered by my wife or me, and those inside were discovered by our younger daughter, they say. Huh? These dimes started appearing shortly after the untimely death of my father-in-law. D was a successful businessman and 32nd degree Mason, there you go, Demon Hunter, who enjoyed some interesting hobbies such as study of astral flight, past life regression, hypnosis, and reincarnation. Shortly before his death, my wife began to fear that her dad would not be with us much longer. And one day, she tearfully admissioned him saying, I'm sorry, admonished him saying, drink up, guys. D, don't you dare die, but if you do, give me a sign that you're with me. But please don't scare me. So since then, the passing dimes have mysteriously appeared in our home, not just once or twice, but literally dozens of times. Thank you, blog.
Haven't you said that when we've been out on a ghost hunt, Sean? Give us some sign you're here. Just don't freak us out. Don't scare us.
Yeah, I think that happened a couple times. I don't know. I think we did that all over the world.
I think we did.
Mm-hmm. I think we actually. But that's the news, Demon Hunter.
That's it.
I want to tell you my secret now.
No, you can't.
The news is over.
G&D News, guys, you're welcome. I said guys. That's three times. Three times. I'm working on it.
You can't get used to this whole Shadow Nation thing.
Shadow Nation. I'm trying, though, guys. I'll work on it. I almost said guys again, but I didn't.
I'll work on it, guys.
It's okay, guys.
Let's stop calling you guys.
They might not be guys.
We remember when we did our research, 65% of the listeners to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show are women.
Liar! They are.
We got a lot of liar.
Women. Well, with a face like ours. Faces like ours.
So, Sean, what's next if the news is over?
Well, Demon Hunter, I tell you, what would be next is... You ready for this?
I'm always ready.
Okay, then.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society, and here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Thanks, Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society.
That's fabulous, Matt Moog from the Zombie Research Society.
Thanks again, Matt.
This is going to be our last zombie report of the year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, unless something like miraculous happens that we have to get the news out there to people.
Right.
No more zombie reports until 2014.
You're on your own, folks.
So I guess we better leave people with either some really good or some really bad news.
Yeah, it better be good.
So, folks, each week, we here at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show bring you the up-to-date reports from the news, the CDC, the just about everything else out there.
The pornography community? Every
week. No pornography, Sean. No pornography.
It happens. We cover it.
That we can find. Indeed, that could mean that a zombie attack is on the way.
Yeah.
We call it the Zombie Alert System, and it's brought to you by the Zombie Research Society and Midnight Syndicate, and it starts right now.
Wow.
After searching the news for reports about zombie attacks and any attack that involves biting, the only ones I was able to find, Sean, were those of a shark attack in Hawaii and a pit bull attack on a young girl. So no zombies there.
Were they zombie sharks?
Searching the CDC, the only thing that came up was a swell in the mumps being reported.
Uh-oh.
A swell in the mumps?
That's where it's hiding.
Actually, it's believed that it was brought to the U.S. by people traveling outside the country and returning it, spreading it to people who are not inoculated. Yeah. So far, over 200 cases of this new version of, well, it's not a new version. It's an old version of the mumps.
The new version?
There are no new versions of the mumps that I know of. If there are, they could cause a zombie attack. Over 200 cases of the mumps has been reported, which is up from about 36 cases just last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's it's not an epidemic, but it's growing.
Yeah.
The last report from the EPA shows only a oil spill in the Kalamazoo River. Nothing really super there. And it seems with the Walking Dead season coming to a halt.
Oh, you're killing me tonight.
I know. The danger of zombie attacks has also gone on a holiday.
Really?
For that reason, the G&D show is lowering the zombie alert to green.
Green.
It's lowest possible level.
Oh,
the low possibility of attack.
Born.
But keep your eyes open, folks. Keep the word out there. Zombies don't like cold weather, I think, so you might be safe for a little while, but they're sure to pop up their ugly, decaying faces sometime, and we all want to be ready.
Yeah.
That's right, folks. You can relax for the holidays. The zombie alert is at low.
Low. Everybody's happy about that. And I got Rot Talk up, Demon Hunter.
Rot Talk!
Shadow Nation. Because we weren't here last Sunday, right?
No, we weren't. What happened last Sunday? We were here last Sunday. We our guest didn't call in, right?
Oh, yeah. We had, which actually made for a great show.
So, yeah, that's right. We were able to talk about ourselves for a change. How often does that happen? We never get to talk about ourselves, except for the first half hour of the show.
First half hour. Sometimes more. But the thing about the Rot Talk, what an amazing season finale. Or, I'm sorry, mid-season finale.
Mid-season finale. Dun,
apparently, season finales weren't enough. Now we're going to break it up to sell more T-shirts and products. They're killing me, man. They're killing me. But you know why they can kill you? Is because they can.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
John?
What's going on over there?
You okay?
I'm great, buddy. That's on on your side of the desk there.
Yeah, I think my system has a loose wire here. When we go to break later, I'll fix it.
Yeah, we better fix that quick. But anyway, Rot Talk was great. It was sad because Herschel, the father of the group, the one that kept I teared up a little bit. I'm not going to lie there.
Nobody wanted to see that happen. But, oh, wait. Oh, Sean, we forgot. We have to give people a warning here. There will be spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not watched this season of Walking Dead yet or behind or trying to catch up, stick your fingers in your ears and go la 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 la, because we are going to be talking about everything that's happened so far and what we think is going to happen in the future.
On The Walking Dead.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, but anyway, we just gave away one of the biggest plot cues of that episode. So it's terrible. All the trolls are going to tear us up online. But anyway, Herschel got his head chopped off, and I thought that you knew the governor was going to do that. You know,
you really did. I think they were trying to make you wonder if he was going to look at Rick and go, oh, Rick is right. We can all be friends and see where it was going to go from here. But let's face it. You saw him lift that katana away, and you just knew it was coming down. And yeah. I really thought he was going to take Herschel apart with one swing.
I did too. The blade must have been dull. But Rick did that whole speech, and then the governor said,
"Liar!"
Yeah, and swoosh, the head went off.
Yeah, it's
that was pretty gruesome though when he followed him down the road. Herschel wasn't dead, and his head was hanging. You know.
Yeah.
He like hacked into half of his throat, but he must have just cut like ligaments in the thing. But anyway, he chased him down and did like four whacks till. Herschel was a hard, tough man, old man.
Oh yeah, walking away with his artery cut on the side of his neck. Yeah, I'd say that.
Where was he going? I mean, I guess you would crawl away, but he knew he was dead. I mean.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he knew, but I think he. Well, when you're in that situation, do you really know how bad off you are? Do you?
Right, you just lay there and bleed out.
But
the governor got hers. Michonne. She finally. We'll have to ask you about it. Ask her about it in person here. And
hopefully,
yeah. Yeah, she finally got her revenge when she stuck the sword through his right lung or left lung. I forget. But she left him alive,
Sean.
She did. She left him alive, but she wanted him to choke on his own blood and suffer a little bit because he made Herschel suffer.
Talk so. Amongst the writers of The Walking Dead said that they were trying to decide who got to finally kill. The general.
The general's the insurance commercial.
Right. You kill him, everybody gets rich. Mm-hmm. They were talking about who gets to kill the governor, and they really wanted Rick to be the hero, but they figured Michonne had to do it. But then when you realized, you know, the whole aspect with the mother and the daughter and all that stuff, they decided that a newcomer would actually be the one to pull the trigger. But because they'd done that once before, they didn't want to have the same outrage from the fans. So they figured everybody got their licks in on the governor.
Yeah.
Rick would get to fight him. Michonne would get to stab him. And then the mom would get to take the final revenge.
I know every chick up there, their sphincter clenched when that zombie was coming up behind Daryl. Because he's the... Chick's
oh, favorite. Yeah. He's yeah. the one they all love. But I'll tell you, I was surprised to find out how many women were really fans of the governor.
Really?
I couldn't believe it, especially once he started, like, blubbering over that little girl.
Yeah.
All of them were looking at him going, oh, he was probably such a good man in his old life. And
what's that tell you about chicks?
Yeah.
Liar!
We love not the Shadow Nation chicks. Because they're awesome. They wear black silk panties and bra. Anyway, that's a Shadow Nation.
But, you know, the new season coming out.
Don't you ignore me.
When does the new season come out?
The new season, Demon Hunter, will be out February, mid-February, I believe, or late February.
Mid-February. Just in time for my birthday, Sean.
Just in time for your birthday. I think I'm going to throw you a birthday party that you probably won't come to here. I'll just tell you about it. I'll be like, hey, man, we're celebrating your birthday. It's a Walking Dead
theme. We're all drinking and having a good time. We're dressed as zombies. And
it's a Walking Dead theme party. Now, I threw Drake, my middle son. I threw my 8-year-old. I threw him a Walking Dead party. Remember those pictures?
I do remember.
He dressed up as Rick Grimes. I put blood prints all over his shirt, just like Rick did with the white shirt. And he thought it was cool to cap gun me all day because I dressed up as a zombie. So it was cool. I'm a cool dad.
You're a very cool dad.
I'm a groovy dad. I always tell him, I always remind him, hey, who has a father that hosted a show internationally all over the globe? I try to use that all the time, but it doesn't impress him. It doesn't impress them. I think their mother didn't even let them stay up to watch me bring in the show at the first half there, Demon Hunter.
They can watch it on YouTube now. Yeah, they're old enough now.
They've watched it. No, they were old enough.
That's your Uncle Nathan cutting his wrist on international television.
It's Uncle Nate. Now, why is he doing that? Because he's crazy. Never let him in the house, son. Never let him in the house.
He lights things on fire.
you don't want
Uncle Nathan to be your example in life.
You always got that one crazy uncle. Here we go, guys. Up next, because we're at 7:53. The hour is up on us. We don't want to make our sweetheart wait. Donna.
We have to leave?
We have to leave for a break. But first, wait. Demon Hunter.
Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
All right. Young Frankenstein's classic. A G&D original. Legend X, guys, where we... Oh, God, I used the word guys again. Where we talk each week about a legend that Nathan and I have hunted down and found the truth behind, or maybe not yet, but we're thinking about it. From the Lizard Man, to the Mothman, to the Troll people, the Pudwudgies of the Indian Nations, to the legend of Sleepy Hollow. That's each right. week we cover a new one, and tonight's Legend X, Demon Hunter.
The Krampus.
There he is. Now what you guys are looking at is the Krampus. We've covered him in the past. One of Nathan's favorites, and rapidly becoming my favorite icon of the holiday because of the mean children that surround me on a constant basis. And I think we need to remind the children. Here's a public service announcement. Let's all remind our children that there is a negative side to Christmas. That not only Saint Nick can bring apples, oranges, and presents every year for the good children of the world, but the Krampus can deliver something a little different. Demon Hunter, take it away!
That's right, boys and girls. If you're naughty for the holidays, you might not just get a piece of coal in your stocking Ooh. From Santa Claus. You might get a visit from his good friend, the Krampus.
Ooh.
The goat-headed, demon-esque monster who lives in the mountains and comes down to visit bad boys and girls just before the holidays.
Yes.
The Krampus the Krampus not only might scare you out of your wits while crawling through a window, but if he comes across a bad boy or girl, he doesn't leave a gift. He takes the child with him so he can beat them mercilessly with his birch sticks.
Now remember, guys, this is Krampus Month on the G&D show.
That's
Shadow
right.
Nation. Yeah. It's Krampus Month, and each week, Demon Hunter, what are we going to do?
We're going to bring up a new little topic about the Krampus. This week, we're talking about the Krampus history. In the future, we might talk about the present influence of the Krampus in Europe and coming to the U.S., not to mention the Krampus Lauf or Krampus Runs, and lots more.
Now, why is the... I always thought about Europe. Why is the... That's the Krampus, guys, if you haven't got it yet. Shadow Nation, that was the Krampus. But why is it that European women, you brought up a good thing with your, why is it that all European women wear thongs? If they're so hairy, you know, and everything, I've read about it in magazine. I've never been to Europe, per se, but I've heard about it, per se.
Well, I imagine, Sean, that from having been married and, you know, having had female roommates and girlfriends and all that.
Funny,
the word on thongs to me is it's a little more comfortable than dealing with a wedgie. That's all I've heard.
But isn't that like a...
Not funny, ha-ha, funny, queer. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like a constant wedgie?
Yeah, I guess, but I guess you get used to it, kind of like if you...
I'm ready for sex.
Yeah, but I mean, when you wear yours, does it...
Oh, I'm strictly a boxer, man, and you know it. You said they were beautiful.
That's true. Demon Hunter, 757, Shadow Nation. Tonight's band, I forgot to mention it, guys. Thanks for the music. Gravedigger 5 was the name. You can find out more about them at gravedigger5.com. Check out them, guys. They're all over the place. It's an older band. It kind of got a Beatle sound to them. Thanks for the music, gang. We love it. And it was good, Demon Hunter.
It was good.
I like the band.
It's all good, yo. Hey, Sean, I would like to point out to a few folks that with this being Krampus Month, you may want to warn your children if they're fans of listening to the Ghostman Demon Hunter show, because, you know, once you know the Krampus, he's just likely to show up at your house.
I'm ready for sex.
That's it. And, you know, we've actually been researching some stuff.
What parent would let their children actually listen to our show?
I don't know. I'm sure the whole family gathers around. They got, like, a Yuletide log and... They're sitting around the fire listening to us, singing sleigh bells and drinking hot cocoa with marshmallows. That's how I like to recognize or imagine our show.
That's right, folks. Well, next week we'll listen. We'll talk a little bit more about the history of the Krampus and the current Krampus loft in Europe.
Yeah. I got something about how to summon the Krampus next week. Yes.
Ooh, I'm excited now.
There's a magical spell. But the Krampus looks like he's actually got... we can't talk about it. That's next week, guys. Tune in. Make sure you tune in, Demon Hunter.
And for now, I guess we get some music, and then we get to call our lovely guest.
Yes, we are going to break, guys. Tonight's band, Shadow Nation. Gravedigger 5. The name of the song, Demon Hunter...
You're looking at the screen. I'm over here on the other side.
Well, I tell you what. The name of the song will be...
You don't even know. How did you expect me to know? You've got it in front of you.
She's a Cure. Once again, the name of the band, guys, is Gravedigger. And I said, guys, again, dang it. It's damn.
The name of the song is Shadow Nation, not guys.
Right. Okay, guys, we're going to break. Up next. Hold on, I got to do this, Demon.
You got me with a mouthful, you jerk.
Mouthful. Okay, guys. Up next, tonight's guest author, lecturer, survivor, author of the Lee Avenue Haunting, Donna Parrish Bischoff. We're going to find out the true story of what happened all those years ago when Donna was a little girl on Lee Avenue at that old haunted house. Tonight, we go backstage. It's not really backstage. We go back in history, back in time, to find the truth.
Only in the Shadow Nation.
Only at the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, gang. Here we go. Tonight's band, Gravedigger 5, and we will be right back.
Uh-oh. I bought the things that you all bad. Think my mother never had. You thought I was under control. Someone cheers, baby, tried to blow. Cause I'm a dipsy now, you're nothing at all.
Hey, it's Don Wildman from Mysteries at the Museum on Travel Channel, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. And that was Gravedigger 5 with the shortest song in history, Demon Hunter. And apparently, folks, Demon Hunter is taking himself out of the mix, but we are live, and he'll probably join us momentarily. But tonight's guest, we will bring her on as soon as he comes back in. But, of course, that was Don Wildman. Thanks, Don. And tonight's, or this month, we're having Krampus Month. So we'll be celebrating Krampus. And I thought it was cool. I was actually telling my kids about it today. And a lot of you might disagree with me. A lot of people out there would say, don't tell your kids about Krampus. But it's a real thing, right? I mean, it's not a real thing, but it's a real story. The heritage of St. Nicholas and the Krampus. People were dark back then, man. Think about it. Shadow Nation. They were dark. I mean, I think Pinocchio was based on like an old fairy tale. A lot of the Walt Disney stuff comes from old German tales and everything. I really liked it. But, hey, guys, let's go to break real quick, and let's see what's going on with Nathan, bringing in our guest, okay? We're going to play a little Gravedigger 5 for you again, and let's see what this song's going to be. It's going to be the one you heard when we came in, All Black and Harry. Stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back.
It's rolling, you queebs.
Last night I was digging in the cemetery. Up jumped a mine, all black and hairy, yeah. When he looked at me with his beady red eyes, and I'm telling you, I got quite a surprise. Then I decided it was time to go, so I dropped my shovel and dragged to my toe. I raced to the cemetery with great speed, but it's right there behind me. And now at home, I cannot sleep, cause I'm always fighting what I might be. Yes, I'm always fighting what I might be. I'm always fighting what I might be. I'm always fighting what I might be.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Don Wildman from Mysteries of the Museum on Travel Channel, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only...
Oh, wait, don't worry, they can't hear us, Donna. That's all right.
No, we can actually hear you this time. To the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tonight's band, since we had to do a double shot during the break. The first one up, guys, was Gravedigger 5. What a great band. Thanks, guys, for the music. And, of course, our friends over at Here Come the Mummies. HereComeTheMummies.com. What a great band, Demon
Hunter.
You
know, that was a typical Ghost Man and Demon Hunter flub there, Sean.
Christmas flub.
When we went to break, I called Donna and then started working on the other computer to fix that little issue I was having earlier.
Right.
And I had it all fixed, had everything plugged in the right place.
You screwed
and
it up.
And connected, and Donna and I could hear you just fine.
Oh, you
but,
could.
That's
great.
Nothing from our end, so apologize about that. My microphone is working now, and let's hope it stays that way.
So you guys can hear me come on and talk to the G&D, or I'm sorry, the Shadow Nation about the Krampus.
It was nice. I realized, Sean, that I'm going to have to try and get permission to play the Krampus song next week.
Why? We never got permission before. What happened there? This is called Pirate Man. Here comes Krampus. See? Little taste. See, those Swedish chicks always sound real hot when they go, yeah. I don't know. But tonight's guest, Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation, lecturer, actress, and author of the book, The Lee Avenue Haunting. And she's got a new book coming out, soon to hit the bookshelves, Growing Up Paranormal.
There we go.
Donna, what is going on?
Oh, I'm enjoying the two of you completely and fully, and thank you so much.
Hey, she was listening before. She gave us a thank you.
There you go. Hey, we got one. We get Nitro Jill's thank yous, and we get Donna's thank yous, and out of the thousands of downloads, we now have two.
Right. So. Well, Donna's always loved us. I called you our sweetheart, Donna, because you are.
Aww.
You are a sweetheart. We love you today. I love you. I've never even got to meet you. Demon Hunter always gets to meet the hot chicks.
Donna is a supernatural sweetheart. There you go.
See?
Woohoo!
She's beyond normal, man. She's paranormal.
Might not feel that way, though.
Donna, what have you been doing? You came on briefly. When did she come on, Demon Hunter? What show was that? Is that the Michael Rooker show we had Donna on for a minute?
No, actually, Donna had her own show, her own episode with us back when... I think right after or just before the Michael Rooker show.
Way back in the day, she had to share it with somebody else, and I didn't like that, though. I wanted the full half hour with Donna.
Yeah, I know.
And now we're going to have to give her some extra time because of your flop.
Oh, well, excuse me for, like, setting the computer up according to your design.
This is what I think of your broadcasting skills. In America.
You laugh at America, you evil communist monster.
America. But Donna, I always wanted to ask you, because I didn't get to go into it with you before. The Lee Avenue Haunting. You grew up with it, much like myself, but I grew up in a haunted home too, but it wasn't really, you know, to the point where things would happen, except you would see her every once in a while. And I mean the ghost. Tell us your whole story. How did it start? How did you start as a young Donna?
Well, you know, it's something that I kind of walked into without knowing that I walked into anything at all. And pretty much that's how I carry the rest of my life through.
Right.
I'm like, what? I was pretty young, and it's even before we lived in Lee Avenue that I had an experience that I had no idea that it was paranormal. I was just very grateful for this older gentleman opening up my apartment door and letting me into the apartment when I was knocking. And because the Good Humor Man was driving up the street, and I knew I just wanted ice cream. So my mother was in the bathroom. No one else was home. So I was banging on the door. The door opens up. It's a gentleman, older, in a gray suit, looked down at me. I looked up at him. I ran past him. My mother came out of the bathroom. She goes, how did you get in the house? And I said, well, the old guy with, you know, because I was so stupid, not realizing some old guy didn't live with us. And she, like, almost crapped her pants right there on the spot, realizing that, you know, I had kind of communicated with something that was no longer of our level of the living. And so my mother kind of kept an eye on that, but she never really completely shared it with me until I got a little bit older, and then we moved into the Lee Avenue two-family home, and that's when things just opened up like Pandora's box. And no matter how much things were, never mind, that's just a creek or this or that, the other thing, we kind of had to deal with it and head on. And there was no excuses. There was nothing else that we can do. And it's like now that I was hearing, feeling, seeing, experiencing these things to the fullest, it can no longer be ignored. It was like, okay, we have to talk about the elephant in the middle of the room. And I'm not talking about the weight that I had.
Little but, chubby girl.
You know, but it was really... it was something that I had not realized what I was realizing. You know what I'm saying? I was so young. And when kids are so young, they're not prejudiced. They're not, they don't have any fears. They don't, things are not present. It's as we grow older and we're kind of trained. Oh my God, that's a ghost or that's a spirit. Now we have to be afraid. Or, oh, we don't like this type of person, so we're going to be prejudiced against that person or that race or this, sexual preference. And it's only until we become older that we become tainted as individuals, and we are blessed if we don't. And so that's why I think I had no idea what the heck I was seeing or feeling or anything. I knew that it was funky. I knew something was up with it. And I think the worst was when I was physically thrown up against the kitchen wall. That's when it got on my nerves. I didn't want to be its friend anymore. So, at that point, it was like, okay, game over.
Yes. You know, when Sean was dealing with his ghost, it tried to throw him, but he's just a little too husky.
I was a husky kid.
Big bones girl.
I was a fudge round packing husky kid. I'm proud of it. Donna, it sounded like you.
Shoes and the whole thing and the big collared shirts and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Now, I heard Carl Sagan say once that he had been to or seen more haunted people than he had haunted places.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's what it sounds like here. Don't you? What do you think? Do you think it was haunted houses you moved into, or was it you?
Well, I think that something was definitely going on with that house because my mother had experienced kind of like a little taste of preview before we were even in that house. And it was the night before we had moved in, and she had gotten the keys from the landlord at that time, you know, so she can kind of clean up and do her thing and make sure that it's hermetically sealed for our protection. We sat down on the toilet and all that stuff. And so basically, you know, she went in there and she started to hear footsteps and her coffee thermos, you know, the big kind of red and black plaid ones that they used to put out in the 1970s. That one was completely moved from one room to the other. She heard a door slam. There was a wind, and there was no windows open because it was the fall. So, I mean, she didn't have any windows going on at that point. And it just became so bad that she had just grabbed her things and ran out of that apartment. And she was kind of saying, holy crap. I mean, what am I going to do?
Now, Donna, are you sure these were ghosts and not wall trolls? Because I have had a huge problem with wall trolls over the years.
It could have been a Travelocity gnome. You know something? Now that I think of it.
Travelocity? No, yes. But that's such a scary thing, especially being a little girl or a kid growing up with that. I mean, how did you cope?
I was the weirdest kid on the block. I was the most unpopular kid on the block. Not to mention I was not allowed to shave my legs, so I have the hairiest legs on the block.
What? You shave now? You shave now, though, right?
I do. I do. I shave my face and everything. Okay.
We were just talking about European women. That's why I was.
Well, we've been trying to get Sean to shave his face for a long time and his legs, but
I'm not shaving my legs.
You know, it was just like, what was it? You know, No Shave November. So, I mean, I look like ZZ Top about now. So.
Nathan does too. You still got the handlebar mustache, Nathan?
Oh yeah, yeah. I actually kept it after we did some work this summer because I wanted to shave it off, but because you know me, I shave my mustache off twice a year, and October came around, and I was just like, I'm going to force myself not to shave. I'm not going to shave, and I'll tell you, it was the toughest thing ever. I looked in the window the mirror every morning. It was just like, oh God, this looks awful. Why is this caterpillar growing across my face?
You look like the Pringles man, brother. I like it.
It got really bad. Like people were right coming up to me going, people were coming up to me saying, are you going to go as Colonel Sanders for Halloween?
Right. No, but you know, Donna, when I grew up I grew up in an old farmhouse on the south side of Indianapolis. And, I mean, it got so bad, my dad would see the image of the lady. I don't know. I mean, I asked him what he's seen before, and he said, well, it was more like a shadowy type thing. And I seen him look around her watching Monday Night Football one time. I'll never forget it. And Coke bottles would be stacked weird in the kitchen. I seen her when I was playing Nintendo, you know, back in the early 80s or whatever. I remember sitting in the hallway seeing her walk around the corner. She acted like she was oblivious to the fact that I was even there. Now, these entities, I know when Andrea Perrin was on from, you know, the Conjuring stuff, she said that her and her sisters used to get beat to death going up to the bathroom. They used to go in a herd together because the ghost or the spirits would just knock them around, pull their hair. Did you have, I mean, I know you said you had some violent experiences, but, you know, how violent did it get?
Violent thing that I remember and my sister actually witnessed this. She was washing the dishes in the kitchen, obviously, and you know, and I was standing about maybe 5 or 6 feet away from her, and I had drawn something. I'm a horrible artist, and I was a child, so you combine those two, and it was like god awful. It was like a stick figure with a rainbow and a unicorn. I don't know what the hell I drew, but and I was like so proud of it. And my sister is an artist. In fact, she drew the cover of the book, and
nice.
And so I wanted her to be proud of anything that I drew. So I was like, look what I drew, Doreen, you know. And she was like, wow. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it felt like a football player charged me. My feet lifted, and I went back, and I got pushed or thrown into the wall. I remember my head hitting the old type of phones that they used to have, where you actually, like, Bell South would mount them on the walls, you know, and have, like, that 20-foot cord. We had one of those, and my head hit the phone, and I went down on the ground, and I hit my tailbone, and I the wind got knocked right out of me. My sister screamed. She dropped the plate in the sink. She was like, oh, my God. She started screaming. And she had to pick me up, and I couldn't get any air out. I was like, I couldn't. I was frightened to death. I couldn't breathe. I thought I broke a rib. So she put me up in the bedroom with the pillows propped up, and she was like thinking, great, here I am, I'm babysitting her. You know, mom's going to come home and think I beat the hell out of her, you know. And she understood, you know, that she actually saw me fly backwards.
You know, my brother actually used to beat the crap out of me. If he had known, he could have blamed it on ghosts when we were kids. It would have made it a lot easier on him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was seriously the most demented experience I've had, like, in the paranormal field. And you know, as I grew up and I became a paranormal investigator, I've never, thank God, I mean, I've gotten nauseous. I've gotten emotional. I've gotten maybe tapped in the head where, like, something would not shove me in the head, but I was at the Garrison House. It was earlier this year, and Terry Garofalo was doing the pendulum, and she was asking questions, and I was looking. All of a sudden, from behind my head, it was like a hand just kind of, like, shoved my head. Oh, wow. And I was like, huh, you know, and you actually heard it on the recorders. It's like, what the hell happened, you know? And she goes, what's wrong with you? I went, something just slapped the back of my head, you know, but it didn't hurt. It was just like, I'm here, I'm nudging you. But when I was a child and that threw me, it was that, I have to say, that was the most traumatic experience I had.
You ever notice, Donna, with right before something like that happens, and I'm not talking about before you get an EVP or something like that, but right before you get touched, or Demon Hunter, when we've had the audible EVPs or the audible voices, you know, when the voices just were right out in the open. The atmosphere changes. Something changes in the atmosphere. Do you ever notice that, Donna?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's either you kind of feel, some of these places are cold to begin with, but it's a different kind of cold. If you know what I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, it's a different kind of cold. It's almost as though you've walked into like a meat locker. And you actually, your disposition changes. And for me, it's an emotional thing. I might become, thank God I've never become like angry like the Hulk, like you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah.
I just get like very weepy and emotional. And I don't know if I'm feeling the feelings of whatever that spirit is or the tragedy that happened. Or I don't know. I can't tell you the answer of why I get emotional, but that's the kind of atmosphere change that I notice, that I get really, really cold and I get really emotional. And, and as soon as I start to get like images or names or something, and I'm not a psychic, I don't claim to be a psychic. I don't want people out there saying I'm a charlatan. How dare I? I'm not going to try to sell anyone snake oil, but
snake oil, contact us at contact@ghostanddemon.com. We'll find
you
some.
I have to put that disclosure out there because there are a lot of people that think I don't shake dead chickens at the full moon at midnight naked. You know, I don't do any of that weird stuff.
Darn it.
Just all of us have this, you know.
Right.
We all have intuition, and it's just a muscle that we have to exercise.
Donna, let me just say, you don't know what you're missing. Shaking dead chickens at the moon at midnight is like one of those experiences you just have to experience.
You got
to
be naked, though, or it's not the full effect.
Midnight, I'm like picking up like dog poop off the carpet or something.
That's great. That's not the same excitement, I don't think. But yeah. But how
do you...
Me.
Do you have any gray poupon?
Poupon. That's poupon. Awesome. We're going to do the funny clip wars with Donna on the line. Here we are. Now, Donna, is the Lee Avenue house still standing?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Now, you've been back, I would imagine.
I did the second edition of the book, and with the help of Christopher DeCesare, who edited, and Donna Davies, who formatted for me, because without them, I would just really... I think I needed to get them monogram straight jackets because I drove them crazy, and I drove myself crazy because I'm not really a technical geek type of person. I can write, I can tell you what I'm feeling, but as far as the technical world out there, I just have no clue, honestly. We did go visit the house, and I did meet with the current new owners. They moved out of Ireland. They purchased the house from the actual landlords of when I grew up, because that family, two of the sisters passed away, and the gentleman moved out to California, and he's got Alzheimer's right now. Knock on wood, I think he's still alive. And he grew up in that house, so I kind of give like a backdrop of the story of what happened with him and his family. And then so be it that they started renting out the apartment. When I asked the new owners, and I really can't give out their real name, but I gave them a fictitious name for their protection because they just did not want to be a part of it at all, because they were very nervous. The wife was very interested in having an investigation done. Her husband was absolutely paranoid that carloads were going to be driving up to the house and, you know, and all this other stuff because, a particular TV show that was actually just recently canceled, they approached me and said, you know, if you can get them to agree to it, you can be on the show and do an investigation with us. And they didn't want to go for it. And I understand, you know, they want their privacy, but I gave her a copy of the book. I told her it's not child friendly because I drop a couple of F-bombs in there. She had three small children. She had two sons and one daughter. And, you know, they were not age appropriate for that book. I did tell her, I gave her my phone number. I said, if you want an investigation, I'll be happy to come back and do it for you at any time. She says, you know, I would be interested. I would like that. However, her husband, and I'm going to hold back his name, he would be so livid. Right. Because he didn't want to stir that up. And they don't. They didn't want to have a problem when they go to resell the house.
Right.
Respect that.
But you have to list it, Demon Hunter. Is that just in New York? You have to list that it's haunted?
No, actually, you don't have to list it unless it's made public. You don't have to list if a house is haunted pretty much in any state. You have to list if the house is known for being haunted.
Well, that's
what I mean. You have to list it no matter what.
No, if the house is, like, so if a story is out that the house is haunted, you have to let people know that a story is out that the house is haunted, but you don't have to actually let them know if the house itself is haunted.
Don't listen to him, Donna. He's wrong. Yeah, I just read the story.
You just keep me on the show for my good looks, I know.
Yes, your handlebar mustache does it for me. Anyway, hey, Donna, what do you think makes a house haunted? Of course, ghost, but what attracts these ghosts, you think?
You know, it could be vibrations of what they love so much about the house, or maybe a tragedy about the house. You know, and maybe they just get stuck. I mean, it could be any number of reasons. It's like a crapshoot, unfortunately. And that's why I'm trying to find the answer of, you know, why are you here? Why are you stuck here? Do you want to move on? Or, you know, sometimes you even have a house that maybe never had a problem at all, but for whatever reason they started having an issue, and that particular spirit that is in that home kind of belonged in someone else's home down the block. You know,
right.
So those are questions that I have. It's like, well, why did you decide to, like, you know, did something happen? Did they knock down the house? Did they renovate the house? Did you know someone that used to live in this particular house? And there's so many reasons.
I've got a new stand I'm going to take on this, Sean. I think it's aliens.
You never know.
I think it's aliens.
Bigfoot, it's Bigfoot. I'm telling you, it's Bigfoot.
It's, you know, this is a dimensional rift caused by aliens that is allowing paranormal activity to leak through from another dimension.
Now, you know, one thing that I've always noticed, though.
Leaving out the humming sound from the coffee machine.
See?
That's one right. It resonates with your brain and allows you to see through the veil.
That's right. The whole thing.
It's the vibration. Hey, Donna, one thing I've always noticed, though, it seems like any place that's haunted by one spirit, it's never just the one. It's always, it's almost like one, it's like a gate's open. What do you think about that?
And my theory is some of these levels, like there could be one spirit. Like, say if, I hate knock on wood, I'm not wishing any of us gone or anything off this plane of the universe, but say if the three of us were in a home, and we were all haunting the house, but we didn't know three of us existed.
Right.
You know, like three roommates, you know, renting the same dorm, and like we all have different schedules or different, they're just in different dimensions on different, you know, how the living is on a different...
Different planes of existence.
World.
Different planes of existence, right?
Exactly. You know, we're just on different layers. There's so many layers. It's like a layer cake. I mean, I'm trying to use like simple terminology. There's so many. It goes to a Google. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, we would never know that something exists. And then some people who are very skeptical about it, they'll say, well, I never had not one experience, because they're not allowing themselves to open up to that vibration.
And they need to open up.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Donna's telling us her heartfelt story, and we're playing clips from Poltergeist. That's beautiful.
Okay, that's fine.
Sorry. Donna, if you didn't know...
If I didn't know Donna, I couldn't get away with that.
G&D show is comedy-based. But Donna, I know the hour's upon us. We gave you some extra time. In closing, before we close out the show, why do you think some people experience this kind of thing and people can go their whole life without experiencing anything like this?
Well, it goes, again, with people who are skeptics. There are people that I know that have not had one experience at all. And they go, nope. And they look at me like, oh, she's Looney Tunes. Because they need to, I mean, not that they need to, but if they really want to experience something, they have to open themselves up to the possibility. that all levels of existence do, it's there. It's just yours for the taking, you know? And I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I can go on some paranormal investigations, and I've been to several of them with Nathan, and we've sat there in the dark, and we're like, nothing's happening, you know? And then there have been times where, like, holy moly, I mean...
Well, that's like, I tell people all the time who ask me, what's it like to go ghost hunting? And I tell them, it's the most boring thing you're ever going to do.
Exactly. People say, oh, my God, that is so cool and so exciting. I go, well, I mean, I wear a winter coat, and I sit in someone's basement in the complete darkness, and they film me on infrared green, and I, you know, my hair looks platinum, my eyes look like a raccoon, and, you know, and most of the time, nothing ever happens, but... You know, if you think that's really, really cool, then go for it. But I do it because I want that experience. I am such, I have an adrenaline rush when it comes to having paranormal experiences.
Yeah. See, Sean and I have a new theory on ghost hunting. We invite all our friends who are either the biggest skeptics or the biggest believers and throw a party at a haunted location.
All right.
And... if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in front of everybody, and then everybody gets to see it.
That's it. Hey, Donna, tell us more about the book coming out soon.
It's called Growing Up Paranormal, and basically I'm giving you stories that have happened, like the one I sampled earlier when I was five and the Good Humor Man came and I saw the gentleman at the door. And I share experiences of when people go to sleep, they have visitations from their deceased loved ones. Not to be afraid, but these are beautiful experiences. And I also had several wonderful people submit their beautiful stories of the same type of description. And it's to basically let you know that we're never alone. They're, you know, our loved ones never leave us. And, you know, you just always have to keep that faith open. And it is kind of, it's more emotional and it's more uplifting. It's really not scary. There's kind of some comical things in it that I wrote about things that I've gone through, and it has to do with the paranormal. So, and I'm not going to, you know, leak it out here because it's, but it's funny. People are like, you didn't share that story. I go, yeah, I shared that story. I have to, because it's who I am.
Oh, come on, Donna. Give us a leak, a little leak.
Well, it has to do with sanitary items in a ladies' room of a funeral parlor.
Nice. I'm buying. I'm buying just for that section.
You're
right
cool.
There. Hey, that's it, Donna. Can you stay on the line, sweetie?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Anytime. Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
The hour is upon us. The hour is past us.
The hour is past us?
You know what? We wouldn't make an exception for Don Wildman, Michael Rooker, or The Walking Dead, but for Donna, absolutely. What do you think about that?
I think we're wise in that.
I think we are wise in that. The chicks always get favorited on this show.
Yeah, they do.
They are. There's the music, Demon Hunter. Special thanks.
No.
Yeah, oh no, we got to close out. Special thanks to tonight's guest, Donna Parrish Bischoff, guys. Author of Lee Avenue Haunting and soon to come, Growing Up Paranormal. Make sure to check that out. Special thanks to tonight's band, Gravedigger 5. And the Mummies. HereComeTheMummies.com. Make sure to check them out. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tune. And Creations by Souls Denounce. That's SoulsDenounce.com. Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.